Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Our guest today is Colleen McCracken. She's a strategic business advisor, and today we're going to be talking about everything owners need to know about boards. Well, you know, Colleen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
You know, I got to tell you, boards, just by definition, the word board is a poor choice for some things that people have to deal with every day. But boards themselves can be challenging, can't they?
They can. They definitely can.
So what are some of the things that when you think about this, really that have to be looked at for discussion having to do with tips on a business or business owners to know about boards?
Well, I think the first, it starts with the leadership team and typically the CEO. And usually it's because there's a sense that the organization needs some outside expertise. And so oftentimes, a board is the appropriate way to get that outside expertise. Not necessarily looking to hire someone, but looking for, sort of oversight of the organization. And that's typically why people, think about boards for their business. In addition, family businesses in particular, which I have experience with, the family side of the business is an additional complexity that it is sort of there in addition to running the business itself. So a lot of times family businesses will have boards because they are, they're trying to run the business, but they're also trying to maintain the family.
So there could be two different types of boards there, right? There could be an advisory board or there could be a family board. Talk a little bit about the difference there and why it matters.
Sure. So first of all, talking about a family business, a family business can have different types of boards. Oftentimes in a family business that's small, they'll start with a family board, and it basically is only family members. And as the board grows and develops, they typically move into a board of advisors. And a board of advisors has no fiduciary responsibility. So these are typically, people that have, in a lot of business experience or maybe a specific targeted area of business experience and, the things that the family business may need. So that would move into a board of advisors. And then some of the, the larger family businesses actually have boards of directors, and in that case, the board of directors actually has fiduciary responsibility.
So we know that there are a lot of different types of boards, and there is certainly experience that goes with being on different types of boards, nonprofit boards, school boards, advisory boards, as you just said, or maybe paid boards. How does a business owner start at the beginning to say, what do I really need?
Well, it really starts with the business owner. Where are you going with your business? What's your long-term view and strategy for the business? Do you have areas of the business, where maybe you don't have internal talent that you need in order to make some decisions about your strategy moving forward? So, oftentimes the board is in place to help the business owner or the CEO. And I would say that it really is different for every business in terms of defining the need. Some businesses are growing, dramatically, and therefore they need some outside expertise in very specific areas. And some, companies are, not necessarily growing fast and maybe need some help in some other areas. So it really does come down to evaluating the goals of the business and thinking about where you may need some added, expertise who help you meet those goals of your business.
When it comes to the CEO or the owner, whoever is in charge of the operation, you just mentioned there's a lot of complexities in regards to what the business might need or they may need to improve performance. Could there be a technology reason? Could there be a lack of leadership reason? Or what are other reasons, you might say, for someone to put together some sort of board function?
That's a great question, David. And I think obviously through, you know, COVID-19 and this whole period of time where you hear about businesses pivoting, thinking about, you know, what happens to my business now. Sometimes businesses are sort of in a you know, mature state where they're continuing to do fine and everything's great. And then lo and behold, you know, we get hit with this outside force, and COVID, of course, is a perfect example. And that oftentimes causes a business to step back and say, okay, you know, maybe I'm overly affected by this. Do I have all my concentration in one area? Should I be more diversified? And what really do we need to do in order to, you know, sustain the business, grow the business? And sometimes it's a matter of, you know, transition of the business. And oftentimes boards will be brought in because, you know, the owner isn't 100% sure they want to, you know, they want to sell it, or they want to continue on with the family members, or possibly even a management buyout. So a lot of times a board can help with those types of questions as well. But I would say that normally it's really about where is the business, where does it need to go, what are the goals and objectives of, you know, the CEO and the leadership team, and are we capable of getting there, you know, on our own, or could we use some expertise? You mentioned technology, and I would agree with you. I think a lot of things we learned through COVID is that if you were not doing business online, you were behind the eight ball, right? Because everyone's buying stuff online because stores weren't open. So I think a lot of times as businesses that are, you know, maybe not doing as much online and maybe don't have that internal expertise, sometimes bringing someone with that type of expertise on a board can not only help, you know, the leadership team and the CEO and business owner, but also maybe help with developing the structure internally to be successful with the business, you know, long term.
You know, one of the things that I can just hear some business owners and CEOs say, especially of smaller or mid-level companies, of, oh my God, that's a lot of work, Colleen. You know, this is a major project you're talking about. Heck, we're just dealing with COVID now. We barely have time to breathe. What are some of the challenges that maybe you can address up front that will be honestly, and I'm not saying it's not legitimate, but there are honest concerns about putting together a family board, board of advisor, or board of directors?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I do often hear that, you know, it's a lot of work, and you're right, it is a lot of work. However, it can be broken down into, you know, into different parts. The first part is start small. You know, a lot of times people will, you know, oh, I got to have a board of 10 people. And, you know, oftentimes the business isn't ready for that. I will say there's some things that need to be in place in order to be, you know, in order to have a board effective, and that is you need to have your standard processes. You need to have your financial statements at the end of a month. You need to have some structure and dashboard metrics in place in order for a board to get started. Sometimes I've seen a board start with two or three people, and it can often start with your accountant, your tax accountant, and your lawyer, your attorney. Those are two people that typically you would see on a new board because they know your business already. They know the internal structure. They probably have a good sense of where the challenges might be in the business. So the first step is to really start small. And, you know, maybe that third person in the example I just used is someone with expertise in a particular area that the business needs. And so, you know, I think the first step in this is starting small and build upon it over time. So therefore, it's not as daunting to get started. I will tell you that my experience is that if boards are managed well, they bring incredible expertise to the organization.
Is there a cost to building a board? You know, hey, an attorney, an accountant, I'm watching my billable hours just and my rates go up. By the words you say, I think they're charging me.
So I would say that there's all types of boards. Some boards are not paid boards. Some boards are paid boards. Typically, I'm going to get in trouble with the attorneys and the tax accountants here, but typically because you're already a client, they would, you know, they would consider doing this as part of their relationship with the business. Or maybe you have to do a minimal, you know, a minimal amount. But I would say that typically, you know, they're in a situation that's different than maybe somebody who has expertise outside of an area that, you know, that the company needs. So I would say that, you know, initially there might be some cost depending upon how many board members you have. But I think it's all about the size of the company in terms of the type of board member that you need for the business. So, you know, not everybody needs a CEO of a Fortune 500 company to serve on their board. So it's really a matter of identifying the right experience and the right background to determine if they're a good fit for the board. So, you know, there's some cost involved, but I will, you know, my view is always about ROI. And I think boards, you know, I think boards bring far more value to the organization than, you know, the cost. So it's always about what's the net impact. And my view and my experience with boards has been that we get a lot more from them than, you know, what they cost.
One of the other concerns that I know you've heard, and certainly have I, is that, well, the CEO, or especially the owner in a family business, goes, yeah, but I know what I'm doing, and second of all, I'm not giving up any control to them.
That's true. That's very true. And, you know, that's where you talk about the different types of boards. A board of advisors is basically a group of people that have, you know, particular expertise, and their job is to advise. So it's up to the CEO or business owner to take the advice or not take the advice. You know, so it, you know, I think that's part of understanding. I think what a board does is it gets you to think about all of the different elements as you think about decisions that need to be made for the organization. So you know, it's up to you to take the advice, but you know, if your view is I don't need a board and I don't really think I'm going to learn, need, you know, I know everything I need to know, probably not a good time to get a board.
Colleen, you mentioned the fact that you've certainly done and helped businesses get boards together. Give an example about a real success story that you've worked with an organization on and made it happen.
Well, I can use one right off the top in terms of, you know, when I was CEO of Thomas Moser, we had a board of advisors, and it evolved over time because I think that sometimes a board will start out and okay, you know, fit is really a critical element of this. So boards are evolving, you know, that oftentimes the boards have board terms anyway. So there's two things that I think come to mind in that. In the example that I would use, one is that the business changes, so therefore the needs of the board change. So our board of advisors at Thomas Moser oftentimes had people coming off the board and going on the board based upon what we needed for skill sets. So that's one thing that I think is really important for people to know. And then the other is if you have board members on the board and they don't feel like they're adding value, then they will not be interested in staying. For them, it's they're doing it obviously, and in this case, these were paid board members, but they're doing it not just for the money, because even the money is not enough to keep someone. It's really more about, you know, making a difference. And so if you don't listen to them or you're not willing to take the advice or evaluate the advice, then, you know, again, that's an example of a company really needs to be ready for that. And then just in terms of my, you know, working with clients, I've worked with a lot of clients on different types of, you know, board issues. One, for example, one of my clients had three boards. So the organization was a fairly large organization. They sort of had three different areas within the organization. And, you know, it was getting to the point where it was very difficult to manage all three boards, and it was actually starting to become a hindrance to the effectiveness of the overall organization, as well as some challenges with responsibilities. You know, there's overlap, right? You think about one company has overlap, even if they do have three different business units, as an example. And this client, you know, needed to really do some consolidation of the board. So thinking about how you're going to do that and how you're going to do it in a fair and effective way so that nobody feels that they weren't properly considered is part of the work that I do. So sometimes it's starting boards, sometimes it's, for me, sometimes it's helping make them more effective, and sometimes it's consolidating boards.
We're talking with Colleen McCracken, Strategy Business Advisor, and we're talking about everything owners need to know about boards. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsandME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
I'm so sick.
Ooh, honey.
Seriously? I'm sick.
Oh, honey, it's time for DayQuil Severe Honey. It's maximum strength cold and flu medicine with soothing, honeylicious taste.
I love you, honey.
And I love you.
I meant the DayQuil.
New DayQuil Severe Honey. The soothing, honeylicious daytime coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, power through your day medicine. Use as directed.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and this is Educational HR Radio. Colleen McCracken is with us, and she is a strategic business advisor. And we're talking about everything owners need to know about boards. Colleen, you know, it's interesting. You talked about in the first segment, really, why a board needs to be brought in or what some of the reasons might be. And you also talked about the different types and some of the challenges that owners or CEOs might think about boards. But one of the things I want to ask about is, you know, we got it. They come in, it's supposed to be something that helps me, but I'm not exactly sure what that means to me, what that means to me as the owner, what that means to me as a board member. How will it really help me individually? I got to get I'll help the company, but how does it help me?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think a lot of times CEOs are struggling, business owners and CEOs are struggling with maybe internal issues. So, you know, maybe I'm really not sure how to find the right person in a specific area, for example. The board can be very helpful in, you know, helping that CEO and or business owner with either contacts that they have or processes that they've used in the past that have been very successful in maybe helping a business owner do a certain thing. So they're, while they are about the business, they are also about, in many cases, especially on a family-owned business board, you know, the business owner has a lot of challenges about thinking about, you know, what do I do when I am ready to retire? And a lot of times that's an area where a board can really help. And that's an example of why you would make sure you get the right people on the board who possibly have some of that expertise. Maybe they've gone through it themselves, or maybe they've, you know, they've helped other companies going through the same type of thing. They also tend to have a lot of contacts where they may, you know, be able to refer some help and things like that. So big part of it obviously is about the business, but a big part of it is also about, you know, making sure the overall leadership team is, you know, what it needs to be in order to achieve the goals and objectives of the organization, and help that business owner and or CEO in some areas that maybe they are struggling with as well.
You know, one of the other questions that certainly comes up is, well, how do you set it up from a roles and responsibilities standpoint? I mean, let's say we have 6-7 people. Who's chair? Who's vice chair? Who's all these things? Or does it really matter all the time when you're getting started? And then how do you move forward?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And as I said earlier, I think it's important to start small, especially if you don't have a board. So a lot of times, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 people just to get started. And really, you're developing the structure of the board. You know, I would suggest putting together a board charter, which is really kind of what is the purpose of the board? What is the structure of the board? And this can be, you know, this is going to be built upon over time. But so, you know, what you have in the beginning is probably not going to be as structured as what you might end up with, you know, in the end. So, but just getting started simple, you know, how often are they going to meet? That's a big question. You know, some boards meet monthly, some boards meet quarterly. And a lot of times, you know, the CEO and their business owner is talking to board members in between. So set the structure, you know, make sure the expectations are understood. So first and foremost is, why do I want a board? What do I want my board to do? The next step is, let's develop the structure for the board. What do we need for talent on the board? What do we need for experience on the board? And we call that board composition. So, you know, what do we need for different types of backgrounds on the board? And that is very different for every business and for every business owner. You know, certain business owners may need, you know, more focus on sales growth, for example, whereas other businesses may be more concerned about financial. So really understanding those things ahead of time is important in terms of determining the board composition. And then it's determining what those roles and responsibilities are. The one place I see challenges in the clients that I work with is in areas of a different understanding of what the board was going to do and what they are actually doing. So, you know, if you're not clear about what those roles and responsibilities are up front, then you certainly could have some challenges with board members saying, that's not really what I signed up for. I think the other area there too is accountability for the board. You know, the board is holding the leadership team and the CEO to some degree and or business owner responsible for meeting the goals and objectives that they are supposed to be executing on. But at the same time, the board is responsible as well for meeting the roles and responsibilities and of what the company needs. So, you know, making sure you're checking in on that and making sure you're having those conversations with board members to make sure that they, you know, understand their purpose and that they are executing, you know, what the company expects. And I think the other, and then so obviously based on that, you're looking to, you got to figure out how to recruit them. And then, you know, oftentimes I help with getting the board organized and developing agendas and making sure that the board meetings are spent reviewing information, but more time is being spent on helping the CEO and or business owner with the, you know, with the challenges that they're facing.
Organizations, as you said, sometimes put their attorneys on it, and that makes a lot of sense. How much risk is there for an organization in regards to having a board, in regards to retention, record keeping, all those things that are so important about minutes. Does it matter as much for a, what you might call an informal family board, as it does, for example, a board of directors, where, of course, there are certainly much more formal processes in place?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, David, and I've actually seen it all over the board, not to use the board word, but so, you know, I think some people are, you know, want structure, and some organizations and CEOs want structure, some organizations and CEOs want less structure. And I would agree, as a reminder, board of advisors do not have a fiduciary role, whereas a board of directors does. So the need to keep, you know, the need to keep information from minutes and things like that tends to be far more, you know, involved when you're talking about a board of directors. A board of advisors is less involved, you know, not that you shouldn't do it, but more that it's not something that you have to go back to figure out, you know, what happened. But I think it really comes down to, you know, it's very customized depending upon the business and the owner, which is why sometimes it's hard for businesses to get going on boards, because, you know, people will say, oh, this is what we do, and maybe that's not the right fit for, you know, this company or this CEO. So, you know, I really, really do think, and I approach it from a customization standpoint, we're going to put together something that works for that business.
We're talking with Colleen McCracken, and we're talking about everything you need to know as an owner about boards. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo, and it is Educational HR Radio. You know, Colleen, one of the things that always is a challenge is you get 6, 7, 10 people together. Of course, everybody always gets along. There's no ego involved. Maybe they become friendly, then they can't wear their different thoughts or ideas. Of course, they are never tell you what they really think. No, none of these things ever happen because people are perfect in every possible way. Okay, we know that's not true. So what are some of those challenges and how do you handle them?
You're giving me some memories. I think that, you know, it takes time. I will say that. I mean, when you're starting out initially, there's, you know, it gets a little, just like when you're starting, you know, meetings for the first time, structure has got to get, people need some experience before they actually get good at it. But I think it's important to have an agenda to make sure you have some timelines for what you want to cover. I will say some of the learning that I've had is that, you know, oftentimes we wait till the last item on the agenda to talk about the stuff that we really want to talk about. And there's not enough time. So, you know, one business tip here is to make sure you put the most important part of your, what you're looking for from the board at the board meeting first on the agenda. I mean, obviously, quick check-in. Sometimes people also spend a lot of time explaining, for example, what's already happened in the business. And it's important to do that because the board needs to know, you know, where the company is and how it's performing against the goals. But going into too much depth and detail takes the board off track. So I would say over time, you sort of learn how much time needs to be spent in each of the areas and making sure you're getting to, you know, the parts of the meeting where you really want to make sure you're getting the expertise and the advice. Going back to your point around not getting along, and, you know, that's an important part of determining who you want on your board. I mean, I've certainly seen it happen that board members disagree completely on different things. And so now the business owner has different advice coming from different board members. Ultimately, the decision is up to the, you know, the owner of the company or the CEO of the company. And oftentimes they do get different types of advice. But I think it's important that each of the board members knows which area they're really, you know, what they're really focused on, and to make sure that that's kind of the role that they play.
Well, you know, you make up the conversation about board fit, right? That they really fit with the organization. I mean, you want new and different ideas. You don't want everybody to obviously agree with everything. There's no question about that. But there is this fit that has to, or this alignment might be a better word, of people and how they they have to get along to make sure that there's in the best interest of what they're there for, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, to be honest with you, like I said, if you're starting small, your tax accountant and your, you know, attorney have probably already worked together. So that's sort of an easy relationship that's already been established. And, you know, if you slowly add board members, then, you know, you have the opportunity for there to be interpersonal relationships developed as well. I mean, I think that's another important point is that the board is a team and teams need to spend time together. So as an example, in some of the boards that I've been involved in, you know, the board would meet the night before for dinner so that there was more interaction outside of the board meeting so that they can build relationships, making sure they understand the background of the other person that's on the board and getting to know them more is critical. And I've seen that board members, you know, outside of board meetings, either get together or talk about the company together. And, you know, so there's a whole piece of board development that requires them to have the relationships with each other as well in order to be effective.
Is there a good rule of thumb for, lack of a better term, board terms, or having somebody for a period of time versus forever? I mean, certainly in a more formal setting, you might have terms, but is there this advice for a mid or small level company?
I think that that's good advice all around. You know, I think that a board member should know coming in what the process is going to be for, you know, their amount of time, how many meetings they're going to come to, how many years you're expecting them to be on the board. And I am absolutely adamant when I work with clients that there needs to be a process annually for reviewing the board member with the CEO and or owner, just to make sure that everybody is getting, you know, that the owner's getting what they want from the board and, you know, setting the expectations with the board member for, you know, what it is that you're expecting out of them. So I would say that board terms are always good. It doesn't mean you can't extend them. I think being clear about that going in, no matter what you decide, you know, a typical term is sometimes it can be a year. Sometimes it can be 6 months. I know of a board, for example, that meets monthly and they give the board member 6 months to come up to speed and make sure it's a good fit. And you mentioned the fit word before, and I think that's really, really critical. There needs to be a good fit with that board member in addition to their background. And that isn't always the case, you know. So I think, you know, this company decided that they wanted to do it for a short period of time. And if everything was going well, then they would extend it. So I think it really comes down to, you know, what's going to work for that business and whether you have previous relationships. I mean, typically some of the first board members on a board tend to be people that the CEO and or president may already have a relationship with. And therefore, you know, they sort of know already whether there's a good fit or not.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Trust and it won't be a fuss. Take it to Moody's Collision Centers. M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot. Maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light.
right. Suddenly you're sideswiped. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsandME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio on the HR Power Hour. Today, our guest is Colleen McCracken. She's a strategic business advisor, and we are talking about everything owners need to know about boards. Colleen, we talked a little bit about some of the challenges that owners and CEOs face in setting up boards. I want to talk about it on the flip side for a second. What about the fact that owners or CEOs just aren't listening to the advice? It's time, it's resources. Tell me when you think you have to really look, is this working?
Yeah, I think, you know, I would call that one of the pitfalls of having a board, in that a lot of times it's challenging for business owners and CEOs sometimes to hear that maybe what they're doing needs to be evaluated differently or whatever. And so, you know, if you're not listening to the advice, the question is it not good advice, or do you have the right people at the table, or, you know, is this something that is, you know, a problem within the organization? So again, I think that's important to discuss that ahead of time. And, you know, I've definitely seen some companies that I've worked with that have started a board and then stopped a board for a while because they realized it wasn't working the way that they thought. So it really does come down to the setting clear expectations and being honest about it. If you're not, you know, if you know going in that you want their advice, but you may not take it, tell them that up front. You know, some people are okay with that. Some board members are not. They have ego just like everybody else. And, you know, sometimes if their advice isn't being taken, they do not feel like they are adding value. So it's really important to define that going in and make sure that the people around the room as part of the board are, you know, the right people. And, you know, a lot of times people put friends on the board. And sometimes a friend is an okay thing to do because they're capable of wearing both hats. You know, I'm your friend, but I'm also going to tell you what I think. But in some cases, that is not the case. And so, you know, my recommendation is to avoid that if you can, just because sometimes conflict comes up and, you know, obviously can affect the relationship. But, and it's hard for them to wear both hats often. So, you know, make sure you're picking people not because they're your friends, but because they're the people that are actually going to give you the advice you need for the business.
So, Colleen, I've made the decision. I'm going to set up a board. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have an advisory board, or I'm going to have a board of directors. I'm the CEO. I'm the owner. And I say, yep, this is it. I heard her on the radio. It's time. What do I do now? How do I start?
You know, I would recommend getting some help, to be honest, because I think that trying to, you know, you're oftentimes as the CEO, and I know this because I've been one, is that, you know, you're really focused on the day-to-day and you're really focused on, you know, making sure the organization's meeting its short-term goals, probably more so than long-term. So, you know, the first step is to really sit down and assess why do we want a board and what do we expect the board to do for us? And really do a good job on that, because that's the starting point. And, you know, if the answers are things that, you know, a board really isn't going to do, this is it brings up a great point, is oftentimes the board has their role. They are not responsible for execution, right? They're responsible for helping the business owner and or CEO with challenges within the company, or to your point earlier, sometimes they're personal challenges. But what's important there is that you don't want to end up, you know, going down the wrong path as a result. So I would say it's really about putting the right people on the board and making sure that it's based upon what is needed for the business and the business owner. That's step number one. Then it becomes a matter of defining skill sets that are needed to achieve, you know, whatever it is that that organization needs. And oftentimes it's very hard for a business owner to come up with on their own. Oftentimes they need some probing to really understand what it is that they want out of a board. And I've seen when that's done, when that's done very well, and the CEO and or business owner needs to be ready, right? They need to really be ready to take that advice and hear that advice and use that advice. I think the board is typically, you know, very effective.
Well, you know, you often talked about getting help and making sure that you put the right people on the board. Talk a little bit about that interview process, right? Let's talk a little bit about making sure that you have the right people, the right composition. It's not a job interview, but in a sense, it kind of is.
It absolutely is, yeah. So I think that, like I said, when you sit down and say, okay, let's say, you know, let's use an example. The owner is thinking about succession of the business and, you know, has family members from within, as an example, and needs some help figuring out, you know, their primary goal is to make sure the business is doing well, but also getting ready for some type of liquidity event or succession of some sort. So I think that's important to know as you sit down and say, okay, then if this is really the goal, you know, let's assume this is the goal number one, then if this is really goal number one, we need to make sure we have someone on the board that has experience in this area, or that maybe has done it themselves, or, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think it's important. I can't say enough that is the absolutely the most important step. And that's the step that I think an outside perspective can really help with. And then once that is defined, it is an interview process. So typically you'll say, okay, this is the skill sets that we need, if these are the types of things that, you know, we need to work on as a company. So for example, using my example earlier, if you're a, you know, a business that's selling directly to other businesses and now you want to sell to end consumer and you don't have any experience selling to the end consumer, then chances are, you know, you're looking, in this case, you're looking to diversify your business. Chances are you're going to need someone on that board that has, you know, strong experience in the B2C market. So, and then it's a matter of really evaluating. It is a bit of a job description. It's, you know, board roles and responsibilities, but it definitely speaks to what are the types of things that you want them to weigh in on from their experience. So, and like I said, setting that very clearly up front and making sure you have the right people to meet the goals and objectives is key. And fit, you said it before, people can have the skill set, but if they don't fit within your organization and you don't feel that the personality fit is good, then it's probably going to be a challenge.
Is there a recommended amount of times that a board should meet?
Yeah, most boards that I have worked with and boards of advisors and typically boards of directors, if they're established, they typically meet on a quarterly basis. And that meeting can be, you know, a half a day meeting. And I've seen, you know, 2 to 3 hours, and then I've seen, you know, maybe 3 to 6 hours. I would say that 4 hours is probably the max, because, you know, there tends to be a lot of dialogue going on in the board meeting, and you know, it can be exhausting. So I think it's important to not make the board meetings too long, but quarterly is typically what is in place for organizations that have had a board for a while and they have the process kind of down. If you're new, and it also depends upon the immediacy of your, you know, of your needs. So sometimes people are putting together boards when they already have had the problem for, you know, a major problem for 4 months or 6 months. So it really comes down to how much help do we need right away. And so sometimes I've seen boards meet monthly to get started, just so that they can expedite the sort of onboarding process of the board, and then move to quarterly after that, once it's established. But oftentimes early on, just to get the cadence of the meetings and get everybody up to speed, you know, I've seen it happen monthly.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs and ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, we've been talking to Colleen McCracken, Strategic Business Advisor, and we're talking about everything owners need to know about boards. I'm your host, David Chulo. And you're listening to Educational HR Radio on the HR Power Hour. So, Colleen, first of all, of course, you have a Yorkie, don't you? How's Tasker doing?
Tasker's great. He's doing great. Thanks for asking, Dave.
Well, you know, having two Yorkies myself, Izzy and Buddy, I think that's probably, I should have started as that is clearly the most important question of the day. Wouldn't you agree?
And I think, I would agree.
You know, if you were having a board of advisors, they'd all have to own Yorkies. That's just not a question, correct?
That's right.
I know how that is. I just understand completely. All right. You know, as we wrap up the show today, I mentioned it before, but we've really talked about why an owner should do this. You know, as we think about the top two reasons from today's show of what an owner needs to do to get started or why they should, what are the top two things you want people to take away from?
The first thing, obviously, is when you think, you know, when you've decided that you need a board, the two things that I would say are absolutely critical to get it right. Because, you know, no one wants to get started and have it not work and have to go back to the drawing board later. So the first step is to make sure that you start slow. There's, you know, I've seen a lot of situations where, oh, I need someone who does this, and I need someone who does that, and I need experience in this. And that is that may be down the line, but you need to walk before you run. And if you've not been having, you know, these board meetings and having that structure in place, it's going to take some time to get that going. So I would highly recommend starting small. And like we talked about before, you know, maybe your accountant, maybe your attorney, because they have experience with your business. And, you know, there is a period of time it takes for board members to get up to speed on the business. So that's number one. And number two is having been there myself and being in the CEO role and having to, you know, put together a board, you know, in addition to doing all your other duties, right, like running the business and, you know, all of that, it's hard, you know, it's very hard to do. And, you know, the CEO is responsible for making that board effective in terms of, you know, helping the company reach the goals, but they also have a million other things that are on their plate. So get the help, ask for help to get it done, because I think that it's just not something that CEOs and owners have to do every day. And so, you know, you want to get it right when you do get it started. So I would definitely say get some help.
So if somebody out there has heeded this advice and said, hey, I want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
They can reach me on LinkedIn, Colleen L. McCracken on LinkedIn. And they can also reach out to me on email, ColleenM1107@gmail.com.
So the LinkedIen is ColleenLMCCRacken. That's awesome.
Correct.
Colleen, thank you very much. I appreciate you being on the show today. This has been great education for anybody who wants to know about boards. Again, this is Colleen McCracken, Strategic Business Advisor. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back with the HR Tip of the Week. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, I'm Liz Johnston from Verrill. You're probably familiar with the concept of a non-compete agreement. However, with states across the country enacting statutes restricting their use, do you know what other options are available to protect your organization? Non-compete agreements frequently include non-solicitation provisions, which can prevent an employee from soliciting customers and employees of a former employer, and non-disclosure provisions, which prevent disclosure of confidential or proprietary information of the former employer. These provisions can be developed into standalone agreements that protect your company and may not necessarily be subject to the same restrictions, including salary or income requirements, that a non-compete agreement would be subject to. Of course, it's important to check the applicable state law to determine the permissible scope and any other requirements for these agreements, including what consideration may be required. If you have questions about how these agreements could benefit your organization, please contact me or another member of Verrill's Employment and Labor Team.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.